Welcome to I Want to Grow, and I Want to Grow is all about that, right? It's about our growth. But today, it is about our growth, but we're celebrating today 90 years of the British Council. And my word, have they done some incredible things around the globe. And today we've got a special guest, Aisha. I'll leave this with you. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast. I am the Senior Business Development Manager for Welsh Government, based at the British Embassy in Qatar. I do a lot of different things, but I'm going to keep it short and sweet and tell you that I cover three main areas. So one is promoting exports from Wales into Qatar. The second is promoting Qatari investment back to Wales. And then the third is kind of a more generic soft power umbrella, where it can range from educational partnerships, research, to other things around sports, arts, cultures, and the whole values piece, which Welsh Government is so strong on.
They are so strong on it. I'm now you're here talking to me. I was only the other day, 2022, and I remember sitting, which couldn't have happened in the UK, where I was sat right next to the Welsh fans. England were playing Wales, and I was next to that crowd.
Me too.
Boy, I'll show you afterwards, but I've got that part where they're singing that anthem. And oh my words, did that make me tingle. But that's Wales. Very strong, very together, big massive community, and boy, are they proud to be Welsh.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
and they come from a it's a hard stock, right? They've kind of developed over the years, like us all, but they come from a hard stock where they were down in the pits.
Absolutely. I think what is most amazing about the Welsh is, you said it, the community feel, and ultimately, regardless of what's happened in their past, where they've come from, where they're at today, they are genuinely lovely people.
Wonderful.
And I know a lot of people say this about their nation or the nation that they represent, but this is genuinely true for the Welsh. I mean, whether it is colleagues for me, whether it is when I go back on my regular visits to Wales and just people watching and seeing how they engage with each other down the high street, whether it's what you read about in the press. I know Welsh press, UK press can be controversial at times, but they are genuinely lovely people, and I find myself feeling really fortunate to be in the position that I'm in, being able to be front row and benefit from that.
I don't say this very often. If she was around now with us, I would have said it more often. My grandmother was Welsh, comes from Aberdare. And I remember we went to one of our relations' funeral, and it will always stick with me for the rest of my life, where some young kids dressed in the young things that people wore with their baseball caps, and they were coming through it. They were walking straight through a funeral, getting ready for a funeral, getting into the cars. And just as they're coming through, young kids, but as they're coming through, they took their hats off to show respect. And that to me is that community. That to me is the respect that they've got there. But the
great
hard
values.
Work, great values. And this is the great thing we were talking earlier about, how many Qataris are actually going to university. And you told me Swansea. I would have said it was going to be Cardiff. But yeah, it's a great country.
Yeah, I think a huge part of the appeal for them going to the Welsh universities is they feel like they have a similar community to what they have back home, i.e., here in Qatar. There's a large community of them. For example, Swansea University, they have their own mosque. Well, there's a mosque there. They are able to replicate elements of what they have here, so they feel like it's a home away from home. Feels familiar. Generations have gone there. So the students there today, their parents have gone there, their grandparents have gone there in some instances. So it feels familiar to them. And I think they think a lot of the Welsh values, although the Welsh identity is completely different to the Qatari kind of identity, there are similarities. They love family. They have a great sense of community spirit. They're kind, they're generous, it's a big part of their identity. They want to be known for those things, as do Qataris. So yeah, I think it's a really lovely match, and I think they found a little piece of home outside of home.
But you're saying those things, and I remember going back all those years where on a Sunday, that was sacrilege. There was no going out. Everything was closed on a, sorry, Sunday. And people would listen to the person playing the, we would have high tea, so everybody would share a meal together. We would have the, all the best crockery would come out, and Welsh cakes, and all those things would come out. And then after that, after we spent that time together, we would go into the front room and somebody would play the piano and everybody would sit and listen. And you're 100% right where you say that yeah, the culture is quite close because it's family orientated, which is fantastic. You're in Qatar. Where did your journey come about for you to all of a sudden find yourself here?
Oh, I'll try and keep the story short, but essentially, I was born and raised in Scotland to a Scottish mother and Syrian father. My dad went there to study for university. Then, around the age of 12, I moved to Saudi Arabia because of my dad's job. So we all moved there as a family. Then, around about the age of 15, we all decided we were going to move down to London. So home for me now is London, actually. Although I have a really strong connection to Wales, to Scotland, I guess my home is London. Grew up there, studied there, went to university there, went to SOAS, the School of Oriental and African Studies, for anyone who knows that. I know there's quite a few people here in Qatar who've gone there. And I went into media and married to my husband. He's a consultant psychiatrist for HMC now. So he got offered a job whilst he was working on the NHS in London to come here. We'd always said we wanted to go for an adventure. We want to live somewhere, most likely in the Middle East, because we knew it was great for raising a family mainly. And the rest is history. So I left my media job, the world of media, came here and was up for a brand new venture in every sense. So, where I lived, how I lived my life, what life would look like, and a big part of that is career. So then I decided the British Embassy was going to be a great place for me to look. I did look at other organizations, but I felt the biggest affinity to the British Embassy. So I did a different role to what I'm doing now, which was running the operations department for the embassy, which was definitely, I think, baptism of fire is the
Oh,
expression.
of course.
Yeah.
You have to learn from media,
Yes.
then you have to kind of
Yeah.
not just look after yourself, you're going to have to look after quite a few.
Yeah. And even if you've come from an operations background in any way, working at an embassy is a whole other game. So navigating all of that. And then the role for the Welsh government job was coming up because the lady who did the job before me, she had to leave Qatar. She was going on to pursue other adventures in another country. And I saw the job spec and I just thought, that is me. It reminded me of why I loved the job that I did previously, which was, selling technology and advertising, digital solutions. Trade. So a huge element of this role is promoting Welsh trade to Qatar. Investment, it's about the finance, it's about the commercialization of the deal. So although we don't get to enjoy the end bit of the contract being handed back to us and celebrating that, we facilitate connections. We facilitate smoothing out deals where possible. It's not always possible. And sometimes we get into the detail a lot more than we do in other areas, but we're not deal closers. And so that was what I loved. And then the whole thing about, I'd worked for UK Gov, which was a huge steep learning curve, which I absolutely loved. But then I thought, I've heard so many things about the Welsh government, and I'd never worked for a devolved government before. And I didn't know very much about the Welsh government. I mean, obviously, coming from Scotland, I knew about Scottish politics, but I thought, right, this is a whole, again, I'm going to go into something that I don't know very much about, but I'm ready for the challenge, and I love learning, and I want to be engaged and feel that sense of reward and deliver. I love delivering. I want to feel like I have contributed, and I felt that this job was going to let me do that, and it absolutely has.
The responsibility on your shoulders is quite immense.
Well, I joined at possibly the worst and the best time to join, which was a month before we found out that Wales had qualified for the FIFA World Cup here in Qatar. So I remember getting the news. I was in the airport coming back from a holiday, so I obviously hadn't gotten the news because I was mid-flight that they'd qualified. Landing, going, yes, oh my God, how am I going to do a great job? I've literally just joined. Like, how can you possibly, when you're learning the basics in so many respects? But I have honestly an incredible Welsh government team and support. Whether that's, my main kind of line manager and the deputy of our team who are based at the British Embassy in Dubai, Welsh Government, MENA, that's what we are collectively, or whether it's our wider team, back in Cardiff, they are phenomenal. I'm really lucky.
And I'm looking at all those products, and if I would say Scotland, which is unfortunately you've still kept that Scottish language. No, I'm only joking.
Mind all
I'm
the Scottish
joking.
viewers out
Oh,
there.
yeah, I'm joking with you, my brothers. I'm joking. I spent so many years with them. I spent so many years with Scottish people, and I loved them to death. So that was a joke, by the way. But going on to that, what are those products that that you've got in Wales that you're exporting? What are those things that are really important to you?
Oh, right. So how long have you got? But there are no 2 days that are the same in the job. So, but there are themes, and it's kind of like, it's like a wave, right? Some things will come into fashion, some things will go out of fashion, and some of it is real seasonal. But in terms of exports, a lot of it is food and drink. So we have a lot of cheese, dairy,
Jeez.
dairy
Yeah.
products, Rachel's Dairy, Golden Hooves. Actually, I'll do a plug for them because they're in market actually this week. That kind of thing. But also education is a big area. We touched on it earlier, but educational partnerships. There's a big negotiation going on at the moment between a very well-known Welsh educational institution and an educational institution here to set up a partnership to be able to offer their courses here in Qatar, which would be huge breakthrough and something that I think would be phenomenal if it goes through. But as you know, these things, there's so many variables
But I think Wales, from an educational perspective also, and you telling me that a lot of people are going to Swansea and Wales in a whole for their university, I think it's a beautiful place to go. Two different poles apart, right?
The
So
weather.
you've got the weather, but that's the first one. But then you've got the countryside, and you've got the sea. You've got the kind of some of the coast on the west is got the Atlantic. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful countryside and seasides, which is really wholesome. Great fresh air. There's a lot going for Wales. There is a lot going for Wales, and there's a lot to be said about Wales.
And I think our First Minister, Eleanor Morgan, she's doing a phenomenal job of saying we're gonna do and deliver. We're not just gonna say it, we're gonna do and deliver. And one of the big things from that is we have this Welsh Investment Summit coming at the end of the year on the 1st of December, where we are, specifically inviting huge investment stakeholders from around the world, C-suite and other to come to Wales and join in for, a whole day to understand what the investment opportunities are in Wales, the real investment opportunities are in Wales, whether that's compound semiconductors, whether that's nuclear radioisotopes, whether that's offshore wind farming opportunities, green energy. It's there. It's there. And, Wales wants international investment. And so this is about, standing up, talking about these opportunities on our kind of microphone to the world and saying, come and invest in Wales.
The great thing about that I like most of all is, or sometimes is it that where I'm proud about our country, and I'm going to put the whole country in that very, very patriotic. I love where I come from, but it's not so nice that instead of it being the UK government, you're actually now branching out in your own. In your own areas, and you've got some wonderful areas and some wonderful industries to push. I say here that when I say to startups, having a great idea is just not good enough, but you're far beyond that. It's not just ideas anymore that you're just trying to promote. It's actual things that are in place, that somebody has had the vision, the foresight to go out and put this plate things into place, and now it's become a business that you're asking for people to get involved in. Which is really commendable for what you're doing, especially with what you're doing here, and again to the UK, you've got the launch pad of the UK embassy here, the Great British Embassy. That's going to be a launching pad for all of you going out on your own as well,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Although you're under the same thing, but you're going to be able to piggyback on those.
Absolutely. And it is so what's the best way to put this? I mean, I've worked for other great organizations in the past, and unless you work for an immediately recognizable brand, sometimes it's hard to strike up conversations or get someone's attention. But I think working for the British Embassy, obviously, you don't necessarily have that. I mean, unless you really deeply upset someone,
Yeah.
which is part,
Possible.
well, I guess everything is possible, isn't it? But generally speaking, I think people are really welcoming. They want to have the conversation. And then if they decide after the conversation, actually, there's nothing there to be done immediately, then that's okay. But people will give you the time. And therefore, the responsibility is on us working at the embassy to make sure that we're not wasting
Yeah.
people's time. And we go back to what we were talking about off camera earlier. Bluff. Put your bottom line up front.
Yep.
What do you want from them so that they can decide from whether it's an email that you've sent or a phone call or a WhatsApp, because WhatsApp's so big here. They can decide there and then whether it's a goer or not, and actually give you a response.
I also say that sometimes you've got to be resilient. I've learned that over my time here. Is it the amount of times that I didn't follow it through? Okay, I tried to be as front as a bluff. I try to be upfront and tell them what they want, but sometimes that's not good enough. Sometimes you have to just reach out and say, and sometimes asking about the family. How's the family? It's Ramadan Kareem. Sending little messages through that is going to make you stand out above everybody else. And I think it is important to understand that cultural side.
You absolutely have to. And that is also, you were asking earlier about what do you do. Sometimes we are even talking about the cultural aspect so that when companies come in and are going off to meetings within a few hours of landing, they get it pitch perfect because they're not making blunders around the culture, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Do you sh handshake? Do you not handshake? Do you talk about this? Do you not talk about this? Do you talk about family? It's we take it for granted. We live here. We know what's yay and nay. But for a lot of international companies, some might not. Some are very familiar and they've done their due diligence, or they've been working in the region for a long time, or they've got history working with Qatar. They've been doing it for years, maybe decades even, which is just so lovely. But we are here to assist everyone, providing that, they meet the criteria.
And that's the perfect position when everybody's aligned. Because if everybody's aligned, then value is going to be on everybody's. It is going to be there for everybody to grasp. One of the biggest things that I say to anybody that's coming here, businesses, is handshake. Always offer your hand to as many people as you possibly can. Sometimes women, you've got to, if it's Qatari women or it's an Arabic woman, it's kind of, you've got to feel whether it's not going to be a handshake and it's a hand to the chest to say, nice to meet you. But majority of the time is, and I give them, if it's guys, I look at it and I say, don't pull away from the handshake. Keep your hand there. And it may take, it may, for you, it may linger. Seem hours. Yeah. Keep it there. Yeah. Don't you pull away. Yeah. You keep your handshake there. And that, to me, is about trust. Is to look, if you want to hold my hand longer or you feel more comfortable with that, I'm happy with that too. I'm happy with that too. So these are all the things. And the little thing, the little details, just mean, you know, with the little, when you've got the little coffee, and they offer you it again, and you shake
just
the
shake it,
just shake it.
Yes.
So that you say, no, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Those little things. Yeah. Oh,
gestures.
You've learned about yeah. my.
You understand me.
You understand.
It's
me.
About building trust.
And these are the little things that absolutely make all the difference.
And we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Trust is everything.
Trust is everything.
If I'm going to be able to say to an exporter, a Welsh exporter, oh, I don't have a contact in that area, but I have a colleague who does, and I'm going to write an email to them saying, my colleague passed me this. I hope that, you know, they will trust I'm coming from a good area. And when I meet them face to face, I've got to continue in that vein of, you can trust me. So if I give you my word on something, if I say I'm going to follow up on something, I'm going to do it, because you have to be able to trust us. And ultimately, we work for a really big brand, which has a huge reputation.
Huge,
Welsh government,
huge
British
reputation.
Embassy.
Huge.
And we have to protect that.
Yeah,
you have to protect whoever, you know.
Of course. And that's where the value comes in, making sure that everybody's got the value. And I know, unfortunately, we're talking business. Sometimes at the time, you won't see the value. It's just about the culture side of things. It's doing those extra little things that are going to count. But the value is what you're going to get out of this. Ultimately, it's business.
Yeah.
What is it going to work for you, me, and everybody else?
Yeah.
And I think that's key. But now I'm going to go on why we're here today, and that's the British Council.
Yeah.
We're talking about trust. We're talking about kind of culture. We're talking about relationships, networks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah, they are incredible. What they do, what they've achieved. I don't know how they do it, to be honest. I mean, they achieve so much for how relatively small a team they are. And, you know, you read about them in the press, you see them online at these different engagements. I think Wasim, the director, I mean, he must be cutting himself into three.
He's a superstar.
Daily,
he really is a superstar.
He's at everything, and he's just got this Energizer Bunny energy.
Yeah.
Which is to be admired. Mashallah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But it's all those things. You've got to have, they seem to have so many heads on. Okay, it's down to education, but that doesn't stop
And they
there.
Really understand it. This is the thing. They're not just doing skin deep. They genuinely sound like experts, and like they understand the context, the background, and what the objective is, which is difficult when you're working across so many different areas and things.
And the reputation they've got. I've had guests sat exactly where you are, and they're in some really, really big, powerful positions, and the British Council is at their forefront of their mind because of what they've done for them and their family and the generations below them. And you listen to them and say, yeah, they've been part of the family for many, many years. There's a lady that was, I can't remember her name, but she said, my when I was 7 years old and I got my first certificate from the British Council, I've still got that pride of place. And those are the things that we've got with them. But the British Council does more than that with you guys. I don't know how you've done some mural. They've done some really great stuff.
Should I tell you about some
please.
Of them? I mean, I had to write a long list because there is so much.
So much.
So much. The great thing about when I see Wasim, whether that's in our embassy or whether that's out on the circuit, because I'll be at an event, he might be there as well, or I'm going into a meeting that he's just finishing up from, there's always, oh, I need to speak to you about this. I've had an idea. And it's ongoing, it's consistent, and he'll contact me whenever, and I will contact him whenever, and there are no barriers to the comms, and I just know that he's going to be so recipient to what I've got to perhaps suggest or ask, and likewise. So it comes down to relationships, I think, a lot of how this works, you know.
Everything is about
Yeah,
relationships.
yeah. So when Wales came out for the World Cup, which was just a phenomenal time. That is one of those things I think I'll look back on when I'm a pensioner, or maybe much older in my pensioner
Don't
years.
be putting those type
No,
of
I know.
I'm
It's
getting
not that
closer and
far
closer
off.
to that
No, I
name.
know. I
Oh
should
God.
say, as a very, very old woman, I will look back on that as one of the key highlights of my life, not just my career,
100%.
and I don't think, I don't know, but for myself, I don't think I realized how special I was to be in that job at that time, and in this location, just all of it was a huge blessing. We did so much. I was part of a huge working group that the Welsh Government Cardiff had set up, and obviously part of many, many meetings to pull it all together, because there was a huge program of events and organization that happened in the run up to and during from ministerial visits. We had the First Minister Mark Drakeford at the time, he came out. Then we had Minister for Economy at the time, Vaughan Gethin, come out. And all of the things that they did, and those things in themselves are a huge kind of in terms of planning resource, making sure it's right, comms with the Qatari government, the protocol side of stuff and everything. But we worked with the British Council on organising a lot of the cultural pieces. So we had the Earth Choir come out, so a young choir of 25 individuals. They sang at various different events throughout the World Cup. They were just phenomenal. They sang in Welsh, as you'll know, every Welsh person is born with a voice, as they say, which is just a phenomenon in itself. But the kind of thing that you'd watch and your hairs would stand on end, genuinely, but also because it was such a special moment in time, Wales qualifying, but also the World Cup. I mean, even after Wales sadly was no longer in the tournament, it was just magical, magical. We had various Welsh musicians come out. We were arranging acts to be at the first mile point, so that when fans were going in to watch the match, they were like dancing in, they were singing in, they were watching dance acts, all of that kind of stuff. We had a DJ come out, Katie. She was incredible. She did different sets. Really well known. There was the Welsh mural that was done in Qatara that included the daffodil,
I was thinking to myself, I'm going to remind you
the
if you
Welsh
forget this one,
flower.
because that was the one that everybody talks
Stunning.
about. Everybody talks about with guests that have had
Yeah.
something, a
Yeah.
relationship with that
Yeah.
probably comes out so much.
Yeah. So that was incredible. So yeah, there's a huge art scene in Wales. They are phenomenal when it comes to arts, whether it's music, whether it's VR, whether it's painting, whether it's music. They are just absolutely incredible. So for anyone who hasn't seen that mural, go and see it.
Go
It's
and
in
see.
Qatar, you can't miss it. It's on the kind of main strip. But if you have seen it, know that that was done by the Welsh. What
As well
else?
as Qataris
As
and as
well
well
as
as other
Qatar. Yes, that's
nationalities,
right.
right?
That's right. That's right. And actually, the first minister, sorry, not the first minister, the Minister for Economy, he went there, had a moment, took lots of photos down there, was put in the press, and did a couple of interviews. So, yeah, so lots going on the Welsh front. Last year, for example, there was the Jazz Festival at Qatara Village. There was Hugh Warren's Cowboys and Shepherds there. So that's just kind of an example of, bringing in that Welsh talent, the Welsh musical talent, which, yeah, as I've said, they're incredible at. Wasim and I, the director for British Council, we often talk about collaborations around education and what can be done there. So, for example, they do They have the UK Alumni Awards, and obviously I will be there to support those who've gone to Welsh universities. We try and stay on top of the Welsh alumni here, and sometimes they're hidden. We don't know where they are or who they are, and there's a way. It can take some energy and effort to find them. We don't always find them, but sometimes Wasim will find one on his way, and he'll say, "Oh, by the way, there's this one here," and they're in a really prominent position, so you might want to you want might
I'm
want
going to put out on my post today that I'm going to put out on my post today to say, where are you
to.
Welsh
Yes, please do that.
alumni?
Where are you, Welsh alumni? And please get in touch with the Welsh government
Yeah, perfect. I'll do
in
that.
Qatar.
I'll do that.
What else? Yeah, the education piece is absolutely huge.
Massive, massive
Massive, massive, massive.
opportunities here, right?
Massive opportunities here, and just us constantly thinking about ways in which the British Council and Welsh Government can collaborate on that. I talked about Katara earlier. We've talked many a time with the director there, the lady over there, so
Yeah,
Miriam.
we interviewed her.
Yeah, okay. So we've talked on and off about Wasim, myself, hosting, so British Council, Welsh Government hosting a Qatar delegation back to Wales, to look at the cultural organisations there, and what kind of partnerships could be struck, because there's all sorts of needs here, from whether it's production companies or whether it's actual talent or whether it's directors or it's huge. It's like, where do you
But
start
that's
and end?
two organizations coming together like powerhouses, right?
Yeah.
Which I like, which I really do like, where you're bringing them all together, because otherwise it's virtually impossible to navigate.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need someone like me from Welsh Government or Welsh Government to come in and say, these are the organisations that we're aware of, we have really strong relationships with, and even if we don't necessarily have strong relationships, we're aware of what they do, and this is who we would recommend for your programme. And the British Council saying, this is how, I know this from working deeply with Qatara, this is what I know about them and the areas that they'd be interested in, given what they've got coming up or challenges they've had in the past or things they've wanted to cover in the past. So it's a triangle, right, to get it pitch perfect. And yeah, so they're the kind of things that we work on, we discuss, we try and make happen. In the past, we've tried to support when there's going to be a huge memorandum of understanding signing at a very, very high level. I mean, as high as it gets, kind of thing. So use your imagination. And where we've talked about, so we'll bring in Welsh aspects, we'll bring in Welsh lamb, we'll bring in, how we cook it and all that kind of stuff. Other Welsh
Simon
aspects.
from Lulu helps on that front, right? With the
Not yet. We're
not yet.
working on the lamb aspect with him, although they have Lulu's British Week coming up later on this week, and we've got some Welsh exporters attending
Well,
that.
let's push Lulu to make sure that they push some more Welsh products.
We're working on the lamb aspect. So
Oh,
yeah, we've
perfect.
had some fantastic lamb come in, some organic lamb come in and to Qatar, which has been very, very popular.
Yeah.
Albeit not the cheapest, but it's never about price, it's about quality, isn't it? So
That's look, if you're going to get the number one lamb in the world, then
right,
organic
yeah,
lamb,
there
then
is a premium.
there's a premium to play for that, but it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're there's nothing you're not doing with these guys. But they're pretty special.
They are pretty special, and I would say the thing I love most about working with British Council is the huge array of things they managed to accomplish for the UK in collaboration with Qatar. They never say no. So you can have the wildest ideas, whether that be from Welsh Government, UK Government, or other organisations, and they will entertain it. If it sounds right, why not? Why not? And I love that openness. They're willing to put funding behind the right things. Sometimes even Welsh Government, if it's the right thing, we can look to fund co-fund things as well. Yeah, it's their open-mindedness, their approachability. Yeah, I think the future is bright.
I think the one thing that I would say about the British Council is once you've got the door open with them, for whatever reason, okay, don't ever let that, you've got the opportunity of never ever letting that door close.
Yeah.
And the ability to then go and do different things with them is immense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that network that you become part of is that community. And that's global, not just here, it's global. So get involved with them because they're fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just understanding what they do, making sure you understand what they do, and then the opportunity that that offers, because the opportunity is absolutely phenomenal. And they are open-minded, I would say, as I've said before.
I love what we said about the British Council. It wouldn't be, I need to do this. I need you to, first I want to, in very quickly, I want you to tell the benefits of living in Qatar, whatever they may be, and then I want to you to shout out to any of those businesses that you believe. I'm going to say health, for example. I think that there's a massive opportunity from health, education, you've already said, but shout out as many of those industries that it's got potential here in Qatar.
Yeah,
if you can. So
yeah, so the benefits to living in Qatar,
yeah.
There are many, and I know a lot of your guests are going to come on and say this, but genuinely, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't at least 70%, you know, an A-grade lifestyle, life to be lived. The weather is phenomenal. I know people moan about the heat and the humidity, but honestly, I will take the heat all day long over the freezing cold of Scotland or London. So that for me is a huge plus, you know, being able to take a swim outdoors pretty much all year round is genuinely a luxury that I never take for granted, and I make sure my kids don't take for granted either. I think the safety aspect, you can leave your car unlocked if you know, and not worry. Not that you deliberately do that, but if you've happened to have done that, I mean, you're not worried. It's safe. It's a great place to raise kids. Kids are exposed to other nationalities, other kinds of living, other just languages, everything. I mean, that's a real, again, I use the word luxury, but luxury means a lot of things. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that your kids can grow up in that kind of environment. And I think you do get the same sort of thing in parts of the UK as well, parts of Wales, parts of England, all throughout the UK. But it's everywhere here.
Yeah.
You can't escape it.
Can't escape.
You know, there's a lot of nationalities. The schools are phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
The food.
Health.
The food. The healthcare, I mean, HMC. Hamad Medical Corporation.
Second to none.
It is second to none, and that is the national healthcare system, you know, the NHS.
I spoke about ICCAN beforehand, and
yes.
ICCAN Simulation and Innovation
yes.
Centre. Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
It's blown. It just
we've introduced Welsh companies there as well.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I want to introduce more Welsh companies
yes.
there, because I think that they do such a great job, their health. And I'm banging this drum about health, because sometimes, just recently, when your health isn't there, you've got nothing else. You've got nothing else.
Yeah, what's that cliche? Your health is your wealth.
And it is.
Yeah.
So this is the one thing I'd say about all of these things. Education, I back you up 100%. There's just so many opportunities. All you've got to do is pick up the phone and ring you guys. Or ring us. It's up to you, but there's just so many different reasons why you should be picking up that phone.
Yeah.
And what was the other part that I asked you?
The other part was other areas that we
the industries
yeah other industries. You've said health is a huge one. You know, the NHS started out first in Wales.
Yep.
For
yep.
anyone who's old enough to remember that,
well,
or know
say.
About that,
yeah.
So you know, that's part of the Welsh values, you know, healthcare for everyone. So you have a lot of amazing health related companies coming out of Wales. Every year there is a huge exhibition in Dubai, Arab Health, and we have the Welsh government has a stand there, has its and we take out a large trade mission, and they're all Welsh companies looking to do business in the region. So many of those companies we've provided introductions to, companies here. Whether that's distributors, whether it's directly to HMC, whether it's other, you know. So yeah, health is a huge one. Education is a huge one. Food and drink is a huge one.
Food and drink.
Food
Come
and
on.
drug. We
I
talked about,
want to see more.
it's just, it is so vast. It is so vast. And we get inquiries every week across the region from Welsh companies saying, we're looking at these markets. What are the opportunities? Who should we be speaking to? Blah, blah, blah. And, we've done it so many times. Quite often, it's like, right, I know exactly what you're looking for. These are the companies you should be looking at. This is what you need to think about. These are some of the access barriers you just need to give consideration to, blah, blah, blah. But we'd rather people knew about these things up front so that as soon as they hit a hurdle, because especially if it's their first foray into exports, you don't want them to be frightened and saying, oh, no, exports isn't for us, period.
So come on, you
Yeah,
Welsh.
so come on,
Come
you
on.
Welsh. Yeah.
This is a
So
lady, Aisha. Okay.
I'm your lady.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, food and drink. Other sectors, I mean, given the UK fossil fuel policy, which is we do not support companies involved in the oil and gas, the extraction of fossils for fuel purposes, we do support companies who are actively involved in companies looking to transition, so moving into green energy spaces, sustainable energy, that kind of thing. So again, you have a lot of companies in that space in Wales who are there. Again, there's a big conference which ha happens to happen again in the UAE, which is called ADIPEC. And we again, Welsh Government have a huge stand there where we have a trade mission of a large amount of Welsh companies who come out to promote what they do in that space,
Yeah, perfect.
supporting transition.
You're doing a brilliant job. Absolutely fantastic. I'm honored that you've come to sit on the couch today. It's been a real privilege. I've got one more question for you. One more. And it's always the most difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's not so difficult, but it's like, what is the one word that represents the British Council to you?
Inclusion. They bring
Nice.
everyone in.
Nice one. Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you for listening. If you're Welsh, I don't know what you're doing. Pick up the phone.
Let
Okay?
me know.
Just come and join us. It's a fantastic place. And the British Council does an amazing job. An amazing job.
Can I say one thing?
Yes,
I'm sorry
please.
to interrupt
No,
you.
go on.
You mentioned something there which I did. I made a point of. I wanted to mention on the podcast. We're constantly a big part of the third area that I look after is connecting the Welsh diaspora. So people who are Welsh connected, have an affinity to Wales, whether they've studied there, they've been married to someone from Wales, they've grown up there, they've worked there. If they have a connection to Wales, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to know about you. I'd love to include you in our diaspora network. We often host events, and want to bring you in. So let me know. I'm on LinkedIn.
I'm really glad that you said that word, because no matter how many times I try to say it, I can't say it. But thank you so much for doing that, because we do. And I can feel my grandmother in me now saying, go on, Steve, push the Welsh.
Push
And
the
we
Welsh.
got to.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
And thank you for listening.